through the forward viewing port, a strong taste of bitterness pooling in the back of my mouth. Doints, I thought. Plying tourist doints, and Prince Ronald the trackiest little bracket of Dointland. Him I hated most of all, because he'd realised in 5 seconds what had taken me a month of post-war R&R, that Cantrabargid was a very boring planet. Yeah, it livened up when you were fighting alongside the spearhead of a major battle for the freedom of the people, but once freed, those people were awful conversationalists. If it wasn't about swords, they just didn't want to know. After a token orbit around the planet, long enough to milk my hourly rate as much as I could, I set a return course for the trebuchet gate that led back to the solar system. I took my usual route back through the asteroid belt, in the hopes that a bit of close dodging and weaving would give my passengers the excitement they craved, or at least shut them up. The auto-nav would prevent any actual collision, ostensibly. It was past warranty, and I had resolved not to think about it. We turned, placing the light of Cantrabargid's larger sun behind us. It was then, as I did a close sweep across a large asteroid, that I noticed that my ship appeared to have two shadows. I gave my sensor unit a kick, causing it to briefly whir into life and display a blip on the screen. The atmosphere in the cockpit became a lot less boring very fast. The blip had a pirate signature, and it was closing in. I threw myself upright, took the control stick in one hand, and palmed the intercom button with the other. "Attention passengers," I said urgently. "We are being engaged by a pirate vessel. There is no need to panic. The doors to the passenger cabin have been sealed. Remain inside and brace yourselves for evasive action." After about a quarter second of bracing time, I slammed the control stick to the left, banking toward the asteroid, and took momentary pleasure in the distant sound of a 10-year-old body being thrown from a seat. The pirate ship was prepared for this, and its boosters came on. I could see it in the rear view, a smaller vessel, a standard sort of interstellar clipper modified for aggression and spray-painted with colourful imagery like a biker's sleeve tattoo. Along with the usual assortment of highly illegal weaponry, the pirates had attached a great many cosmetic spikes and fins that didn't do much more than give me a slight aerodynamic advantage. I'd have to make the most of it. I sped toward the asteroid with the front thrusters simmering, firing them at the last second before impact and making a hard 90-degree turn. But the pirates weren't falling for that old trick and pursued me across the rocky surface. They hadn't fired, not even a warning shot. Even bullets have value, and you might not need to waste one if your target is at full thrusters 10 feet away from uneven terrain. The pirate ship made little feints in my direction, trying to make me flinch myself to death, but I knew they wouldn't risk an actual collision. So I feinted back to call their bluff, and they withdrew just far enough for me to make my move. I pitched my ship until her left nacelle was practically scraping the ground, then reached up and pulled the special lever on the auto-nav, the one set up to fire off a complicated series of programmed movements designed to closely resemble a ship careening out of control. I clung to the seat of the control chair with all my available limbs as the ship pitched and barrel-rolled. Something large and fleshy thudded against the wall dividing the cockpit from the passenger cabin. Red lights flickered across every readout, and the tortured engines were making every loose panel on the ship vibrate with a rattling scream. The ship's movement described a wide arc, almost completing half an orbit around the asteroid, until I broke line of sight with the pirates. I shoved the second lever, and a colossal bang rang out from the ship's rear, as the luggage compartment depressurized at the exact same moment that the rear thrusters belched a cosmetic ball of fire. A credulous person, which thankfully most pirates are, would assume that my ship had crashed into the rock and been destroyed. They would be surprised, probably exchange a high five, then leisurely come around to loot the wreckage. That would buy me enough time to quietly move out of sight. They'd notice my absence, realize my ruse, and assume that I'd escaped, angrily leaving the scene with half-hearted ideas of pursuit. Meanwhile, I'd be in silent mode, hugging the far side of the asteroid and waiting for the engine to cool. I let myself relax and hit the cabin intercom again. "Crisis averted, everyone," I reported. "I managed to shake them off with some fancy flying. Not, I'm afraid, without loss, because I did have to jettison the luggage compartment.